Benny's brother Joe sells firewood when he ain't passed out on the hood. Yeah, his roadside stand don't look much anymore. They say it used to be quite a sight. Red tomatoes piled shoulder high, sweet Vidalias and everything in between. They strung a mess of old rigs through his fertile field. Welcome to Prairieville.
Hey guys, my name is Donald Jenkins, and this is my podcast called Nashville Hits, Collecting Dust.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Donald. We are live. Well, I don't know. It's actually recorded, but I always say live. It's Nashville Hits Collecting Dust, and I am sitting here with Blake Chaffin. What's up, dude?
Hey, man. Good morning.
Hey, man. I am, I'm actually surprised, actually, because I've been trying to get you on the show before I actually even started the show.
Right.
You know that, right?
Yeah. You had to go through all my gatekeepers.
It's unbelievable how many assistants you have.
I know.
You're kind of a big deal, Blake, but I really did. I asked you, I told you about this idea, and you know, you're one of my favorite people, and you're a great songwriter. So as I was thinking about this, I was like, well, yeah, Blake's got good, you know, advice for me. Like, he would say yes or no. And then, you know, at the same time, I was like, but you would be on the show, right? And you're like, yeah.
Right.
So I start the show. And I'm like 30, I don't know, 5-something episodes into it, and I just now got you in. So.
And what was scary was on New Year's Eve, my fake teeth fell off. Going down to see Chris Stapleton at New Year's Eve, and I thought this was like some video TV show or something. And I like...
So the truth comes out.
I stalled you because like I didn't have my... Yeah, I had some stuff going on.
That's all right. Well, podcasting for the most part is all audio. So there are, you know, that at least makes sense now.
I figured it out.
Well, my feelings were getting a little hurt.
The introvert in me was like, I don't want to go on a show.
I can't go on a show because my fake teeth aren't in.
Right. Dentures, you know?
That's all right. Well, your teeth look beautiful right now. So
Thank you.
We can do this, even though nobody can see you.
I know, right?
I know you. I know a lot of people in Nashville know you. I don't know how many people that are listening to this right now know you. Maybe they do, maybe they don't, but like, who are you? Like, we met 5 years ago, and I want to tell that story real quick. But first of all, how long have you been in Nashville? And tell that story of like how you get here and into like full-time songwriting.
Yeah. So we're coming up on, gosh, in 20 some days, basically a month away. It'll be 14 years that I've been here. So I came actually in September of 2002, and we're sitting here August of 2016. So, which is just unbelievable.
Isn't that crazy?
You know, 14 years in a 10-year town, you know? So, it's just crazy. I can't believe the time's flying by, but who I am is, I'm a kid that grew up in Western Kansas in a small town called Hayes, about halfway between Kansas City and Denver.
Yeah.
Within like an hour or two of the geographical center of the 48 contiguous United States. So literally the middle of America, you know?
Uh-huh.
And, went to college at Kansas State and had a story that I've come to see familiar across a lot of my friends that are here, you know, had a band in college and always been pursuing music and have the thing. And then of course we all end up in Nashville at some point. All roads lead to Nashville for the whole, how do you possibly make a living, or you mean people write songs, or you know, whatever it may be. So pretty much the classic story of just, you know, made it through college, you know, here, mom, here's the degree you wanted me to have.
See how much money you spent. Look at this return on investment. Right. I'm going to go to Nashville and write songs.
Put this in wherever you want in the house, but I don't need it.
Yeah. Right. And of course, I'm sure their first question was, oh, that's great. So how much does that pay you at first?
Oh, yeah.
Was that, oh, that man. Had to be.
Moving down here, I remember, you know, it's like, you're moving to Nashville. Oh, well, like my mom still bought me 2 suits. Which I still can't tie a tie. My goals are to never learn to tie a tie and never make a resume.
Hey, you've made it this long. I think
I'm on my way. But my mom insisted I bring these 2 suits down here to Nashville. And I mean, they stayed in my closet for years. I don't even know what happened to them. I never wore them. And they were going to be for job interviews. So
yeah. So how many interviews have you been on?
Right.
Yeah.
Zero.
Well, you don't have to interview to write a song, I don't think. But there is networking involved, right? You go right. out and you start meeting people. And how many stories have I heard of, you know, people meeting and go, hey, do you want to write? And and a lot of times they'll say, and you may say different, so tell us if I'm right or wrong, but you know, just because you're friends with somebody or you get along with somebody doesn't necessarily mean that you write well with them when it comes to songwriting, right?
Totally.
So how do you even figure that out? Like, are you just getting a room and you go, okay, this is either clicking or it's not. You just move on.
Yeah. I mean, as far as the writing, like I think there's even a step before that, which is even getting into the room, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, we have some mutual friends I know, and I think back to like, you know, Kelly Archer was a big person, a great writer in town, a great friend of mine, but she was one of the first people I met that launched me. I can go back to her and the spider web out to all the people that I met through Kelly. So anyways, that was a situation where I offered to just play guitar for Kelly. I was, you know, I was confident in my guitar playing ability, and she would play these rider rounds and stuff. And so I would actually just go there and not tell anyone I wrote songs, but just play guitar for her anytime. My answer was yes. If she needed me, I would be there and I'd play, and I could help her act and her thing. And that's where I started. And I started meeting all the people all the while, you know, I'm in kind of in the background working on my own writing, getting up the nerve. And so, you know, I guess the first step would be, you know, you can't, Kelly was the first one really that asked me to write. Where it's like, oh my gosh, she asked me to write. She had a publishing deal. She had all these things. And so then I had a carrot out there that I could, all right, let me think of some ideas, and this is my shot, and I have no idea how this goes. And so it's one thing to even get in the room the first time, and then from there, it's just, gosh, putting in the 10,000 hours, man.
Yeah.
You know, you don't think it would take that long, but man, you just start hacking away. And yeah, now at this point, it's a lot more fine-tuned on what works and who works and what is my lane that I need to stay in the room. And
still learning 14 years later.
Oh man, every day. Yeah.
You know, I have a lot of questions that people will write in. And one of the main ones that people, especially people that, you know, want to either be a songwriter or are a songwriter pursuing it, but it's like, how do they make a living? Like, and you know, I know with your story, you had a side business that you started. It was kind of still in music, but kind of not in music, right?
Correct.
So what was that?
So, yeah. So, gosh, in college, I had done the classic mobile DJ scenario. You know, I had five or six employees. And you know, by the time I graduated college, I was doing well with that. And it allowed me to play in my band and do basically have total freedom and get through college with basically no debt and all that kind of stuff. And then when I moved to Nashville, I actually ended up transitioning that into a lighting company that I still own today. That was something that I knew I could build into a business and create revenue aside from the music business that allowed me total freedom, because I always protected the, you know, and had good advice early on, the whole like, you know, hey, the music business operates 8 to 5 and all those kind of things you first don't realize when you get here. And
when you say lighting business, we're talking about like stage lights.
I've done some stage lighting, but a lot of it is event lighting, actually. So like a lot of the weddings and corporate events and things like that. So and you know, the past, I've had that like 9 years now. So that's been a fun project. And constant learning there, like any business is. But I've got that now where it's a nice supplement thing, and I still have to check in on it. But
yeah.
Once you get the flywheel spinning a little bit, it gets a little easier to manage than to. It took a lot of effort there early on.
Yeah, well, and just I think pursuing any dream, how many of us would like to say, hey, yeah, we're just going to quit everything and pursue our passion,
right?
But I mean, let's be real, like that didn't always pay the bills,
right?
So you know, it's a mindset, right? It's yeah. I mean, what would you say when it comes to like, hey, look, you definitely want to pursue that passion of whatever it is you have, but like there's reality to like making a living too. So
absolutely,
you know, you just do what it takes, right? Man. But if it's big enough, if the passion's big enough, then you just make it work.
Absolutely. I've lived in this confusion for years of like, you know, well, I need to just be songwriting, like a purist or something like
that. Yeah.
I'm a sellout if I have another job and what, you know, and how could you, you got to be full in. And I understand that to a degree. And then I also, you know, I would have that thought one moment. I would have someone say, hey, I don't know any hit songwriters that had a side business.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, I'll see like people that I think are four steps ahead of me and they'll be wishing they had something else to kind of level out the music business. So
oh, yeah.
I don't think there's a right or wrong is what I've learned. It's every story is different. And I realize mine has to be the way it is. And those lessons learned in life, like there's some things that I don't have that other writers have, whether that's family or children or things like that, that take up their time. I have something else. And
yeah.
And that serves to stir me up. And it also keeps me very connected to how I grew up, which is I grew up working hard.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of my story is just, you know, you earn it.
That's right.
You know.
That elbow grease.
Absolutely.
Well, so in the 14 years, I know you have a ton of stories, a lot of ups, probably a lot of downs.
Oh, yeah.
That's a given. But it's those, I think, those downs and those crossroads, right, that kind of make you who you are. It probably makes you a better writer, too, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, every writer I talk to are like, the downs are where I get my best content.
Yeah.
You know, so, and you kind of hate that that's the case. You're like, oh, gosh, that, you know.
Right.
But, you know, in the last 14 years, I mean, you've got to meet a lot of really cool people. You okay. have written, can you even count how many songs you've written?
No, I mean, I know 120 a year is usually my goal. That's my goal for this year. And I know I'm at 80 something right now.
Oh my gosh. So. I don't even know how to lead into like, what's your favorite, but you know, before we get into you setting up maybe one of your songs favorite, that's, you know, just what I call a hit song, Collecting yeah. Dust. But like, what are some of the things that you look in the last 14 years and go, yeah, I'm really proud of this. Or, you know, maybe like just some accomplishments that in your own life, regardless if the rest of the world knows it or not, like you're right. just really proud of.
Right. Gosh, the perseverance is the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah.
You know, to have permission to say, I'm proud of myself that I'm still here, you know, doing it in the game. And
yeah.
And I still feel every day, I still feel like anything can happen, you know, and I still feel like it's all out in front of me still. And,
yeah.
you know, the whole, the journey is better than the end a little bit. And it's kind of nice to feel like I'm still on the journey.
Yeah.
And,
like the best is still yet to come.
Yeah. So yeah. that's the, you know, the downside of not having the,
you've had cuts. You had, you yeah. know, I mean, tell us about some of those.
Yeah. Yeah. Recently, you know, I have, I guess, more talking points than I've ever had or a little momentum. So was really fortunate to write a song with Brent Cobb recently that got featured on the Southern Family record that Dave Cobb produced. And a great friend of mine, Ryan Beaver, cut a song that I wrote with Luke Dick, who's an amazing songwriter, just amazing guy and talent all around. But Luke and I wrote that song, and Ryan and I had been friends, and Ryan just put out a record that I love.
And he's got a lot of buzz going on.
Yeah, yeah. He's one of those guys, you know, definitely well respected, you know, by all the folks I know, you
yeah.
know. And so Ryan cut that song, and he had cut the song and stuff before he knew it was my song and stuff. So that was kind of I was proud of that because it's like, man, that was a song that like got cut on its own merit, not necessarily because I, you know,
knew somebody. Someone. Yeah.
yeah, you know, it was yeah. like I earned it, you know, and I'm real excited to, I've got a song I know that was recorded in the last couple of weeks by a big country guy. I don't like, I'm supposed to jinx it or not.
No, yeah.
But, but yeah, a song I wrote with Bobby Pinson, just got cut, you know, by Brantley Gilbert.
Nice.
So it's in it could not make the record by the time I listen back to this, but it's, you know, it got recorded and hey, it is what it is and we'll see what happens. And
yeah.
So I have those kind of things. And a good friend of mine, Logan Mize, has always cut a lot of my songs on his records. And, I, you know, I was really excited to have a single with him called Can't Get Away From a Good Time a couple of years ago. And so that song did well in a way. It didn't top the charts by any means, but it was a good song for me and a good song for Logan. And so
it's a crazy world. Like when you think, you know, most people that work a job, you know, they put in work and effort, you know, regardless if it's like an immediate result, you know, you usually see kind of the results of your efforts.
Yeah.
Songwriting's different sometimes. Oh, I mean, how many hours do you put in? And then, but at the same time, a song you wrote 5-10 years ago, you never know, could like get cut and be number one. There's a lot of those stories. I know, like, what was it? Chicken Fried. That song was written like 15 years before it was, or 10 years before it was cut, and it goes number one.
Right.
You know? So
I wrote with Marcus Humman one day, and I definitely don't want to misquote his story, but it was I'd asked him. I said, "Man, I got to ask you, like, Bless the Broken Road. Like, I love that song and the story of it." And basically, the clip notes are just, it was absolutely crazy, you know, how that all worked, from the timing to all the things that were going on around that. And so you can find 1,000 of those stories. It's crazy. Like, you don't, the odds that a song gets cut, right? Or silly.
It's just crazy to me that, like, just sitting with you, it's like, I write 120 songs. That's my goal a year. You've been here 14 years.
Yeah.
I have a lot of content. At the end of the day, I will never run out of songs to interview you and to hear.
Oh, no. No.
I could really probably take one writer and make the whole show.
Yeah.
For life.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's everywhere. I was at the family wash last night watching a friend of mine, and I was telling him, like, who my Uber driver was last week. I'm like, my Uber driver's a bass player for so-and-so. And it's like, this is someone I love, you know? And it's like, oh my gosh, if you would have told me in Canada. Yeah. There's just talent everywhere.
I mean,
you could ask any Uber.
I think Nashville's one of the few places that you can come and actually look forward to getting an Uber.
Right.
You never know who's going to be driving your Uber.
You guys may as well co-write. You know?
That's all. I've had people on the show that I met because they were driving Uber.
Yeah.
Jordan DePaul is one of them. Uh-huh. I mean, he tells a story on the show. He's like, you and I met because I picked you up in Uber. He's a phenomenal artist.
That's great.
You know, so.
That's great.
God, that's just one thing I love about Nashville. But, you know, it's funny because I've been here since 2002 as well. Not as a writer or in the music business. But, you know, even kind of with that front row seat of knowing a lot of you guys, I've seen a lot of things change. Nashville's changed. The industry is, you know, changing. Oh, yeah. But one thing that has always been consistent is, you know, really just been the passion that I have always respected with artists and writers. You can't not do what you do and not be passionate about it.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, you won't be doing what you do very long. And so that's always been the best part about, you know, knowing you guys is that, like, it's not a choice. Like, y'all have to do it.
It's an intrinsic motivation.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah.
And I've gotten the benefit of sitting there, and then I, you know, we'll sit around and it's a song you were just playing really right before this. I may even play, I don't even know if that's the one you're going to play, but I'm like, it's a phenomenal song.
Thanks.
Like all the songs I get to hear, and I'm like,
yeah,
it's unbelievable. So
I think it's so cool what you're doing, the show. I mean, you know, obviously we talk, but it's just, it's the fact that you get it and like understand story. And I mean, that's one of my favorite things that I share with you. I'm like, just, wow, these songwriters to me, myself excluded, but they're just, man, they are the most interesting people on the planet. I love these people.
Yeah. And you know, when we first met, gosh, look how far we both have come. Just in that, you know, when we first met, you were in somewhat of a, you know, just a transitional life stage.
To
right?
say the least. Yeah. I was at Losers.
Well, Losers, I mean, that didn't really have any connotation to where you were in life.
Right.
It's a, you know, a popular local hangout right there
on
Music Row. And I was with some songwriter buddies, and I was, you know, my passion is telling stories.
Right.
And I remember meeting you through a mutual friend and telling you kind of what I wanted to do at the time. It wasn't this podcast. It was just something I wanted to do called Making It Happen, because I see y'all every day, literally waking up going, I got to make it happen. But, you know, where you were personally, and then at the same time, like where we've come and gone, like it's been really cool to kind of see that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you blink and 5 years go by, right?
It's insane. Yeah.
So, well, dude, once again, I appreciate you being on the show. Awesome talent and, you know, just genuine guy that really just cares about people. And at the same time, you know, I think the reason why I like songwriters is y'all think on a different level. So you can go have coffee with a songwriter and it's not going to be boring or shallow.
Right.
You know, you're going to have just great conversations.
Yeah.
So, but now I just want you to kind of tell us maybe about one of your favorite songs that you've written. If you can pick one of the thousand
that
you've written, just tell us the story on maybe how you wrote it or why you wrote it and then play it up for us.
Yeah, man. The song that I wanted to share is a song called Prairieville. And I wrote the song with my, you know, Logan Mice is just one of my best friends. And we hit a spell for a while for, I think we've known each other 8 years, but we were writing every Tuesday, just set up a regular thing. Anytime we were stuck, we're both from Kansas. Logan's from Clearwater, Kansas. We figured out early on that we both speak windmill, and I didn't have to explain to him, you know.
You may have to explain to me. What does that
mean? Well, I was just like, you know, he knows what a windmill is. He knew what limestone fence posts and barbed wire and just all the country images of Kansas and that we romanticize. And so anyways, we came up this town, Prairieville, and it was our little project that whenever we were stuck and we didn't have anything to write for the quote-unquote commercial market or for Logan's artist project or whatever it was, we would write about Prairieville. So we have a whole album of these songs that have all these different characters.
Oh, nice.
And this was the first song that we wrote that started all that.
Very nice.
Ready?
Let's do it.
That sign ain't right on the edge of town. Population keeps going down, and there's for sale signs on just about everything. Benny's bar's about all that's left, and there's a tire shop, but it's probably next. Ah, hell, who knows? They've been saying that for years. It's a pretty drive. You've got the time to kill. Welcome to Prairieville. Benny's brother Joe sells firewood when he ain't passed out on the hood. Yeah, his roadside stand don't look much anymore. They say it used to be quite a sight. Red tomatoes piled shoulder high, sweet Vidalias, and everything in between. They strung a mess of old rigs through his fertile field. Welcome to Prairieville. I've tried leaving, but it always pulls me back. I just can't seem to let it go. Maybe it's the water that just gets in your blood. Some of the dust gets in your soul. You don't understand it then, you never will. Welcome to Prairie. Dale drives an old fixer up. Black and silver striped step side truck. He sold it twice, bought it back both times. See, that's where he first kissed Emily, and now she's working on number three with some slick-haired banker next town up the road. They got a brand new place on one of the higher hills between there and Prairieville. Yeah, I've tried leaving, but it always pulls me back. I just can't seem to let it go. Maybe it's the water that just gets in your blood. Some of the dust gets in your soul. don't understand it, then you never will. Welcome to Prairieville. Yeah, I've tried leaving, but it always pulls me back. I just can't seem to let it go. Yeah, maybe it's the water that just gets in your blood, and some of the dust gets in your soul. If you don't understand it, then you never will. Welcome to prayer. That sign ain't right on the edge of town. Population keeps going down, and there's for sale signs on just about everything.
Yeah, Prairieville, I love it. That's Blake Chaffin. And is that song not cut at all? It's nowhere to be found?
No. Nowhere to be found.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we call exclusivity. Nashville Hits Collecting Dust, and that's what I'm talking about. Like, that song that I think is just a phenomenal song. And, yeah, that's what I get to hear, or what I have heard for 15 years. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, man.
Thank you. You know, after you write a song like that, what I've always wondered is, like, how do you, like, emotionally and creatively—I can't say that word, but, like, how do you just move on? Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, wow, we just wrote that song. Are you not emotionally attached to any one song? You're like, okay, well, that's next.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you, I absolutely am emotionally attached. You know, I wear them out. Like, when I love a song, you know, I spend 4 days, you know, it's on repeat in my head, and I can't get it out. And, you know, so I get my moments to live with it, and for a while. And then they, yeah, you have to move on, I guess.
You got to put it down and go to the next one.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how much, like, a song that you write like that, and, you know, hey, who knows? It may get cut one day. Right. Honestly, I really do see, you know, at least some of the songs that are played on the show. I fully expect some of them to be cut one day. Because they're just that good. But, you know, do you take a song like that and you know, it may come up, in another year or so, and you may tweak it. Or you may just say, hey, you know, I had this idea, but, you know, you take half of it and write a completely different song. Mm-hmm. Does that ever happen too?
Oh, yeah.
They
all kind of overlap a little bit, you know. Because I was just thinking, I actually have a song that's like, Welcome to Buford. You know, that's like a similar title and stuff, and there's some elements of it. That song to me is definitely a commercial kind of fastball, right? And whereas Prairieville is just very true to Logan and I's story. And
yeah, I want to just ask that right before we end here. I hear this a lot that I don't know if people outside Nashville or the music industry know or understand, because I'm not real sure I do yet.
Yeah,
I hear sometimes writers go, okay, we're going to write for radio today, or we're going to, you know, chase radio. Or, you know, I guess if you're not, then what are you doing?
Right.
Am I asking that right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm not the expert. There's people with far more hits and all that kind of stuff that do that thing. The best I can describe it right now today on the spot is just, you know, how much heart versus head are we putting in the song? You know, I mean, there's... I guess what we instinctually have the inner part of our brain that's reacting and doing these kind of things, and that's maybe where emotions and all that is, and then we have logic going on. So it seems to me like that the commercial song has to involve the inspiration from the heart or the source with just the right amount of, like, the rough edges, like, polished up from making the story make sense, I guess, is the best I can say. So... my experience is that I could write something totally from the heart that just says some things that doesn't necessarily meet needs of listeners and all those kind of things. And so it's a little bit almost selfish.
Yeah.
That's okay. It's how I want it.
Yeah.
Versus you can swing the other direction where it's so, I'm so trying to please you that I almost sacrifice like whether or not I
guess that's that might be it then. That's the perspective. Are you writing for others?
Right.
Or are you purely just writing for yourself?
Right.
And that may be the definition of, okay, we're going to write for radio today, which is just, hey, we're going to, what do we think people want to hear or see or, you know?
Yeah, that or definitely if I'm, as I'm starting to get more opportunities with artists that I never thought I'd get a write with, it's like, the reality is I may only have one chance with them to write. And so my personality is a bit extreme. So I either want to write the most heart-wrenching, like, let's go hard if we're going hard, or if we're going to, if we're, you know, if we're going to be on the radio, by God, let's try and be on the radio.
That's awesome. So. Well, dude, thanks so much. That song was awesome. You're awesome. And hey, appreciate you coming on. If people wanted to like support and follow you, how do they find you?
Yeah. You know, on the interwebs, I know that I have a SoundCloud, which is soundcloud.com/Blake A. Chaffin. A is an apple. So, which stands for Alan.
Nice. But
Blake A. Chaffin. And then, yeah, Facebook and
all the social medias.
I'm threatening to make a website someday.
Really?
We'll see.
Don't do it.
I might. I got the domain name and everything.
Oh, nice. Well, dude, I appreciate you coming on. You going to come back?
I'd love to.
Because I know you have more songs.
Yeah, I love what you're doing here, and I appreciate it. I'd come back anytime.
Thanks, dude. The next time you get the, you know, the fire questions, there's like three questions I ask everybody at some point. So that's what you get next time.
All right.
Come back. Cool.
I can't wait.
Awesome. Guys, appreciate you listening. Make sure you, well, listen, first of all, subscribe, please. You don't want to miss any of these episodes because these guests are, they're just that good and that talented. And if you have questions or things that, hey, you want me to ask these guys that I don't know, you can shoot me an email at hitscollectingdust@gmail.com. But hey, all my social media, follow me, Donald S. Jenkins. I'm not going to tell you what the S, it is my middle name, but nobody knows my middle name.
Really?
Nope. Well, very few do. Let's just put it that way. So anyway, thanks for listening, guys. Blake, we will holler at you later, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Donald.
Amen.
This has been Hits Collecting Dust. Please support this podcast and the artists featured by going to iTunes, subscribing, and leaving us a review.